Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope y'all are doing well on this Saturday morning. A lot still to cover ahead on today's show, but some timely news coming in right as we came back into segment. Brett McMurphy, obviously one of the foremost insiders when it comes to college football out there, announcing the news or putting it out there that I think we can't all expect it, honestly, that Shedeur Sanders is officially out for today's game against Utah. This will be the battle of backup quarterbacks. For the Utes and the Buffaloes in the Rocky Mountain Rumble. And that's where I want to bring in Kevin Borba, obviously. He is covering the Colorado Buffaloes. He hosts a podcast for the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Buffs. Kevin, so that news just coming out, does that surprise you at all that they have officially ruled Shedeur Sanders out for today's game?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I kind of expected it. After the Washington State game, really, that kind of eliminated – well, not kind of. It did eliminate them from bowl contention, and I don't want to say there's nothing left to play for, but realistically, you kind of just want to get everybody healthy and look ahead to next season, and he's the most sacked quarterback in the country. So I didn't really think there was a worth the risk trotting him back out there, and I don't think people realize how beat up he is. I think he's kind of been hiding the fact that he's been so beat up, but you can see it after certain hits where it takes a while to get up, and this offensive line – did not do many favors all year, and it doesn't shock me.
Well, and I'm in agreement with you. He has been battling through so much, it feels like, behind an offensive line that I think we can kindly say has been patchwork most of this season. What do you make of Shedeur Sanders' first season? I want to ask about Shedeur first. We'll get to Dion here in a moment. What do you make of his first season as a starting quarterback at the Power 5 level? Because I think there was some question about him coming up from the FCS level in Jackson State to doing what he's doing at Colorado. What was your impression of him in his first season as a quarterback for the Buffs?
I honestly expected there to be like a learning curve. Okay. And realistically there wasn't. Like there was, I think the Oregon game was probably the worst game he's played. And I mean, who's played a good game against Oregon this year? Realistically, not many guys. So that's a tough one to even talk about, but he far exceeded my expectations. I think a lot of people were comparing him to Cam Ward just because of the FCS, the Power 5 jump, specifically the Pac-12. And he just showcased that he's a very polished thrower, makes great decisions, and he has a big arm. And so he doesn't really make a lot of mistakes, and I think he kind of shocked a lot of people because I think that was the biggest criticism of this team the whole offseason was their quarterback is from the FCS level. He can't play at this level, and I think he more than proved that he could play at this level, and he's already in talks to be a top draft pick of next year's NFL draft.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how it goes. Now, obviously, the Travis Hunter situation has been awesome to see him play in two ways. Do you expect, when we're seeing more of these guys who are those two-way players at the high school level who are considering going to Colorado as a result of what Travis Hunter has been doing, do you think there could be a little bit of a revolution here in college football where more coaches outside of Deion Sanders maybe start to be open to the idea of playing guys both ways?
Yeah, I think they will be. Realistically, every recruit, every football player thinks they can play another position, right?
They do. So they do.
Why not give him at least a chance? And I think for Deion Sanders specifically, this has kind of been his calling card. He has been very open about wanting guys to play both ways. And obviously, I think there's still some fine-tuning to be done with Travis Hunter because I think there's moments when he looks a little fatigued on defense, and that's probably the worst place to look fatigued as a corner. But I think it's a great, at least, thought for other programs to try, because if you can't compete with NIL and school A is only going to let you play receiver, but school B maybe you won't get as much NIL, but you get to play wide receiver and safety for schools all around the country.
Talking with Kevin Borba, of course, host of Locked On Buffs on the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, Kevin, in terms of Deion Sanders, he has been he's been a colorful quote, I guess I could say, all season long with some of the stuff he said out there. But he is, in my opinion, he has made Colorado a success just in the fact that Colorado is relevant on a national stage. I know that you took over this podcast in the past year, and the Buffaloes were among the worst, maybe the worst Power 5 program a year ago. The fact that he made them relevant on a national stage, they won four games, I don't think you can quantify this season as anything other than a success for Deion Sanders. Your take on that?
Yeah, I think this is a success. I think people have to take a step back because I think a lot of fans, and rightfully so in a way, were upset with how much Colorado content there was being spread out there by all of the major networks, and they were televised every week. It was game of the week for the first month. But I think there's two things we need to realize. One, that's how TV works. The biggest stories are going to get covered. So if you don't like that, throw away your TV. And two, he overtook a program that won one game last year. Their projected win total was 3.5, and I think they hit that mark by October. Mm-hmm. So they won four games by October, and obviously they fell apart down the stretch, which I think there's some room for concerns there and some of the way he handled the coaching staff. But overall, like you said, the program is relevant, and it's one thing to be bad, but to be bad and irrelevant is like the kiss of death, if you will. And so that's where Colorado was last year. And so they're relevant. They're trending in the right direction, I think, recruiting wise. And in the transfer portal, they're going to have to get a little creative to fix their roster construction. But he generates millions of dollars for the community. He generates millions of dollars for the program. And so I don't think Colorado could have made a better hire, realistically.
Now, you talk about the roster construction. Now, he was, I think it was at the UCLA game, essentially said, I'm going to go and essentially re-recruit and find a new offensive line. How much turnover can they actually do? How do they go about, as you mentioned, kind of fixing things and stabilizing that roster?
Yeah, so I think the problem with Colorado and Coach Prime, and I think he's going to continue to run into this right now, is he's never going to struggle to recruit skill position players. Like, that's never going to be a problem. It's the trenches where it's like, okay, what is the plan? And I did, on one of my episodes of Locked On Buffs, I did a breakdown of, like, I think it was the top 10 transfer portal linemen from this past class. So the guys that transferred heading into this season. I would say roughly 7 to 9 of them were guys that did not grade well, according to PFF, were not starters, and just did not have the impact that their team was hoping. And so for Deion Sanders in Colorado, my question to them is, where are they getting all of these linemen? Because there's not going to be five, because I think they need to revamp the whole line. Maybe one or two guys can start next year, but realistically, they need a whole new line. And I don't think they're going to get five starting caliber guys in the portal unless something crazy happens. But usually linemen don't transfer unless they have to. It's the wide receivers and the corners that'll transfer for other reasons, but linemen, not so much. And so I think he has a lot of work to do recruiting. He's going to have to flip a lot of guys. He's going to have to really hit on Jordan Seaton, who's one of the few remaining five stars. And they're just going to have to try this portal method again. And they're going to have to hope they evaluate talent better, because I think going the FCS and group of five route did not work, obviously.
Now, looking at today's game in particular, with no Shador Sanders, what does the quarterback situation look like for Colorado? Because we already know about Utah, they're going to be starting the fifth, sixth-string quarterback, however you want to look at it. Luke Batari, a walk-on, a senior, is going to be the starter for Utah. How are we looking for the Buffaloes in this game at quarterback?
Yeah, I expect Ryan Staub to get the start, which he's a true freshman who's thrown 16 passes this year. Realistically, he hadn't seen any time until the Washington State game. He had two passes up to that point. And I think when you're thrown into the fire 11 games into the season, it's kind of difficult to evaluate how good of a player you are. And so he's a true freshman, seems to be thrown into the fire again. We also might see Gavin Cold, who's similar to Luke Batari, is a JUCO walk-on. So I don't expect this to be a quarterback clinic by any means for either team.
So you mentioned that, and I'm with you. I think it just could be a very low-scoring affair as a result. How do you expect Colorado to attack the Utes offensively? Are you expecting the running game to be the focus? What are you expecting?
See, that's the problem with Colorado is they can't run the ball effectively. They rank statistically as one of the worst rushing teams in the country, and that's kind of thanks to their deficiencies across the offensive line. Yeah. So they need one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Ryan or Gavin Cole, to step up and make some plays for them. I think they're going to try to run the ball. But again, week 12, Utah, even with all the injuries Utah has, that's not the best time to try to establish the run game, I would imagine.
Now, you mentioned the whole thing with the spectacle that is Colorado. If I'm not mistaken, are they making a documentary of this season? Is it going to be like, is that what all these cameras have been rolling for? They're essentially trying to chronicle all of this?
Yeah, so there's two sets of cameras that I know of. There's Well-Off Media, which is Deion Sanders Jr. And so he runs a YouTube page or YouTube channel, social media channel, where it's just like day-to-day coverage. So they're behind the scenes of practice, meetings, whatever it may be. So that's how we get all of the clips of Deion Sanders. And then there's a documentary, they did one similar at Jackson State by Amazon, that's going to release sometime in December. And that's I don't think we've seen any footage of that yet besides the teaser. So there's a lot of cameras in Boulder right now, but there's two different camera crews.
I just, it's crazy to me because it just got to be a lot of guys are like, why is this camera following me? Like, but at the same time, you mentioned the Jackson State one. It was fascinating to kind of get an inside look at a program like that. And the nice part about a guy like Dion, I'll give him this credit, is he's unlike a lot of head coaches in college football, which are like, they lock things down. He's been actually very, very open in terms of access into his program.
Yeah, I think the cameras, while some coaches may view that as a distraction, I think we have to realize where college football is as a whole. Kids want to be on social media. They want to be, they want their Instagrams and Twitters or X accounts, whatever it's called now, to be popping. They want people to follow them. They want people to give them NIL deals. And what better way than to constantly be on camera, to constantly be showcasing your personality? Because I think realistically, like right now, Ohio State's playing Michigan. If you find me a social media post of Kyle McCord where he's, I don't know, just like behind the scenes candid, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
But Colorado, we get that almost daily. It's just a unique experience. And I think Coach Prime, while he has old school tendencies and mentalities, I think he's shown an ability to adapt to where college football is headed. And that's a very heavy social media presence.
What do you make of the future for Colorado going back to the Big 12 next year?
Yeah, I think that's a good move for them. I think realistically, under Deion Sanders, they were going to succeed regardless. I don't know how fast it was going to be. I wasn't expecting like a championship in year two, like some people. But I think the Big 12, and you guys know Utah's going there, BYU's already there. Mm-hmm. The Big 12 after this year is kind of up for grabs. I would say outside of Utah, there's not a program where I look at and I'm like, okay, they're going to run the conference. Like there is no Oklahoma, there is no Texas, which
sure.
Texas wasn't running the conference anyway. And so I would say it's a conference that's up for grabs. And if Deion Sanders can recruit the trenches better, there's no reason that Colorado shouldn't be one of the four best teams in the conference. I think in the Pac-12, it was a little difficult because everybody was trending up at the exact same time. And it's unfortunate for the Pac-12 as a conference because it's now the Pac-2. But realistically, it's just hard to compete in a conference where eight teams are having all-time best seasons.
You know, and that's a very good point because you're right. Like, so there's some people out there that think that Arizona, if Jed Fish sticks around down in Tucson, that they could be a player in the Big 12. My question is, how long is a guy like Jed Fish going to stick around Arizona for? That's, and to your point, as long as Deion sticks around Colorado, it remains that I think that they'll be a pretty darn good football program given the right time and obviously the right roster construction.
Yeah, I think especially too, the Jed Fish thing is interesting because obviously UCLA's kind of been rumored to be a job opening coming up, but as long as Colorado keeps Deion Sanders, I imagine, unless something goes terribly wrong and the roster construction continues to struggle, he should find success and Colorado should do everything in their power to keep him. And I think that's kind of a perfect marriage. He kind of gets to do what he pleases.
Yeah.
There's not a big like booster control, like certain programs in Texas that have a lot of booster say. So he kind of gets to test things out and see what works and what doesn't.
Sure, and I just want one other thought for you on the Pac-12 side of things. Obviously, we're going to have I think it's going to be a pretty good game down there in Vegas between the Huskies and the Ducks. Rematch, obviously. Who are you expecting to prevail in the Pac-12 title game?
I got to go with Oregon. I've thought Oregon looked like the best team pretty much in college football this entire season, and that might sound crazy, but they were a made kick away from going to overtime the first time. I think they lost that game, and most people walked away from that game going, I still think Oregon was the better team. So Oregon gets a chance to get the revenge. I think they'll bounce back, and I don't know if Washington's the same team anymore. Realistically, they kind of struggled down the stretch. They were narrowly beating Pac-12 bottom feeders, and I think it just comes down to which defense do you have more faith in to make a stop, and I would say I have more faith in Oregon's defense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Well, Kevin, thanks for taking some time to join us. Looking forward to the game today. And obviously, as I mentioned, you locked on Buffs. It's never a dull moment around Deion, it feels like.
And if never is, make sure to check us out. We're covering all things Colorado, all things Deion Sanders. I appreciate you guys for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. There you go. Kevin Borba, host of Locked On Buffs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and good stuff all the way around. And we'll see what happens. I'm interested in this game. About 15 minutes away from the start of the pregame show, about an hour and 15 minutes away from kickoff on Senior Day up there at Rice-Eccles between the Utes and the Buffs. Looking forward to that game. We will come back on the other side. We will have some final thoughts to get you ready for a full day of football here on the KSL Sports Zone. As I mentioned, noon will be the kickoff of the Ute pregame show. 12:30 on 1280 AM, we will begin the Cougar pregame show. So plenty to come right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.